Want to begin with a couple of brief remarks on a Gemara we did last week, because it is of some relevance to the bris I plan on making on Sunday. The Gemara on Daf Pehem and Aleph. The Gemara describing how you calculate tsar. So the Gemara says there are two ways to cut the arm, leg of a person, sam and sayif. Sayif hurts a lot. Sam, Rashi says, ain sham tsar klal. Rashi on Chumash says, Einam tsar kol kach, there is some tsar, not as much tsar. This Gemara is actually brought in a tshuva in the Imre Yosher, Meir Arik, a great Polish goan from a century ago. He was the first and most interesting tshuva to discuss the question of using anesthesia at a bris. This question didn't come up for a couple of thousand years, apparently because they didn't have anesthetic. But him, the Marsham, tshuvas around that time, late 19th century, early 20th century, were the first ones to discuss using anesthesia at a bris. They were actually discussing adults, not children. Ger, or a person who for some other reason needed a bris as an adult. So Marsham thought it was no problem. It didn't occur to him any reason why it should be a problem. He had a technical question about shlichus, if it's an adult who needs to make a shliach through the mitzvah, but other than that, he didn't really have a problem. But Meir Arik, the Meir Yosher, had a big problem. He says that Chazal had anesthesia too. How does he know? This Gemara? The Gemara says that they had sam, which could cut off a limb without causing pain. And even though he says he can't actually do a bris mila with sam, because even though mila doesn't need steel, he says you do need some kind of implement. You can't do a mila with sam. I probably can't use laser either, according to that argument. You need to use specifically an implement, but he says. But he says if they had sam that could cut off limbs without causing pain, they probably had anesthesia too. You can argue with that leap of logic. But be that as it may, he assumes that Chazal had anesthesia, and yet we don't find anywhere in Shas and Poskim that they used to use it. Therefore, he says it must be that you're not allowed to use anesthesia at a bris. The reason he gives is because a very provocative reason. He says pain is part of the mitzvah of Mila. Mila is supposed to have pain. This is really a very disturbing idea, the fact that there's a mitzvah to deliberately cause pain to a child. We know Mila causes pain, but you know, you think it's a kind of side effect. But he says, no, the mitzvah includes causing pain, and that's why they didn't use it. They didn't use the sam, he says, and that's why we shouldn't do it either. Chas v'shalom to make changes. There are poskim who follow this opinion. Tzitz Eliezer, I believe, the Shevet Alevi. Many other poskim think that there's no makar for such a thing. The Hill Yaakov Weinberg also talks about adults and general anesthesia might be an issue. He has to be awake, he says, but pain, he says, no makar for this, no makar. There's any mitzvah to cause pain to the person getting the bris mila. Rabbi, I saw a lot of these sources in an article by Rabbi Chaim Jachter, a very good article, as is typical for him. He quotes Rabbi Sofer Abraham, great medical expert in Talmud Chacham, who says that Rosh Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Zichron Levracha, and Rabbi Yashuv, Zichron Levracha, both told him that if there is no medical reason not to use anesthesia, then you have to use it, he says. You know, what right do you have to cause the child pain if there's no reason to? He said they apparently also had no idea that there could be any reason to deliberately cause pain. And well, speaking to my model today, and I asked him what his policy is on anesthesia. He just asked me, like, why would you want anesthesia? I'm like, well, he's a human being and he's my son, specifically. But in any event, there are major poskim, as I've said, who are against anesthesia. They're more makel for adults where the need is greater. They're less makel for children. General anesthesia is not an issue for children. I don't think it's safe. I don't think anybody would do it for no reason. In hospitals, they sometimes use injections and other things, which are not really done outside a hospital setting, my understanding is. But the issue really is topical anesthesia, creams of various sorts, kind of like the Gemara Sam, where again, there are some of them who do, some don't. The Meir Yosher brings a raya from this Gemara that you should not. I mean, the raya is definitely debatable. The svara is provocative, and many other poskim disagree.
Mr. Hasuka talks about the Rechei Hadar
Chinoam. Yes. Right. That's part of the problem. That in general, it would be very strange, very rare for the Torah to have such. Again, you know, there are chukim in the Torah. You know, God runs the world in ways we don't always understand. You know, innocent children get sick, and we have. You know, we say Atzur Tam Impalo Kichal Drachav Mishpat Kelim Unavein Avol Tadav Yasheru. We do have faith that Hashem Baruch Hu does things we don't understand. But it is a very bichidish, to say the least, to say that, again, in general, we know the Torah tries to minimize pain. One other thing Rabbi Sofer Abraham brings, He says he spoke to Rav Yaakov Hillel about it, the great Mekubal in Eretz Yisrael, who said, also he knows of no Makar in Zohar or in any of the Kabbalistic sources for the idea that there's a deliberate mitzvah to cause pain in Mila, and he says, an analogy to childbirth, he says. The Torah says God cursed Chava that she should have pain, yet he says we do whatever we can to make it easier. Nobody says there's a mitzvah to make sure she has pain. That's not our job, to be, you know, to be God's policeman. If he wants her to have pain, she'll have pain. Same thing for Mila, he says, you know, might be that the traditional way had pain, but you know, we don't find such a thing that there's a deliberate mitzvah to cause the pain. I want to speak now about another Gemara that I mentioned earlier. I've been discussing with my moel. He's going to consult. He apparently doesn't do it on as a routine matter. He is actually an oral surgeon, my moel, so he certainly has experience with these different types of analgesics and such. He told me he's going to consult his Bris Mila mentors about what the policy is. There are some who claim that it's not a good idea. Again, it apparently hasn't been studied extensively, because in hospitals they use, you know, other techniques which are not practical in a shul bench setting, but they use the ring block, injection type of things. There isn't apparently that much good literature, as far as I could tell, on these topical creams. Some people say they cause inflammation, that they're just not good for the baby, they're not good for the Mila. Again, I guess you need, you know, better data, studies and stuff, so I don't actually know. If my moel has a firm policy, I'll go with it, but if I have a choice, I will probably request anesthesia. Yes?
I would just bring up the possibility. How do we know the baby has pain?
We don't know. It's true that I've heard many people say that it's hard to understand what goes on in his head, and that crying is, you know, can be more of a reflex. It doesn't necessarily, the crying is from the exposure and from the diaper and from the noise. You know, it's true that we don't know. Again, but the point is, there's a lot of things we don't know. There's a lot that we don't understand. The question just is, on balance, which way should we go? If there were strong arguments against, yes, I would include the fact that we don't know. But right, if there isn't really a strong argument against, and the post can must split, you know, and there's a good chance that it may help him, I would probably say, you know, given what we know, I would go for it. Although again, it's not Yahari Valyavar, I don't think it's, you know, Ma'akiv either way. I want to speak now about another Gemara that we were looking at this week. Very important Gemara. The Gemara says, Shevas Apokso Bedamim. The Gemara talks about cases of a wound where the wound is not going to be permanent. The hand was damaged, it was shriveled or withered. But eventually he'll make a full recovery and the hand will get back to its full use of the hand. Gemara goes through a complicated sugya, back and forth. Maskana the Gemara and Daf Pei Vav and Aleph. The Gemara brings Machlokes Abaye and Rava. Abaye says, in such a case where the wound is not permanent but it temporarily incapacitates him and needs treatment, medical treatment perhaps, Abaye says you calculate the damage as both Sheves Gedola and Sheves Ketana. One of them is a nezik type of calculation. How much is he worth less given that he has an incapacitating wound? The other one is the day-by-day lost wages calculations. But the point is, Abaye says both nezik and shevis. Rava says you only pay shevis. Such a wound which is reversible is not considered nezik. You only pay shevis. Now, we pass like Rava. As we usually do, the halacha is like Rava. That a damage which is reversible is calculated only as Sheves, not as Nezek. Now, we learned last week that the Chamisha Dvarim, the fact that you even pay Sheves in the first place, in addition to Nezek, is only Adam Ba'adam, only a person who damages another person. A person who damages property, or vice versa, property who damages a person, but we're interested in the former case, a person who damages property does not pay Sheves, he only pays Nezek. So now, if you put these two things together, the halacha we learned last week, that a person only pays nezek, not shevis. Rava's statement, which we paskin like halacha lemaisa, that a wound, an injury which is reversible, is only calculated as shevis, not nezek. It would seem to follow that if a person causes property damage and that damage is reversible, it's not permanent, there should be no chiyuv at all. Because the only chiyuv that should be there would be shevis, and a person who damages property does not pay shevis. So there should be no chiyuv at all. Tremendous chiddush. You damage something, common case, car accident. So the headlight that was smashed and can't be fixed, has to be replaced, fine, that's nezek. But the body damage, take it to a body shop, they hammer it out, it's as good as new, almost as good as new. Most of the damage is reversible. Maybe you shouldn't have to pay. So this is actually a very complicated topic.
I understand, it's not that reversible. They got to pay for that.
Yeah, The fact that you have to pay for it, nevertheless, there are many posts who say, by analogy to the Gemara, so if you have to pay for it, it's called repo maybe, but a shard doesn't pay repo either. So we'll elaborate on this a little bit further in a moment. There is actually a shita like this, apparently, in Rishonim. The Rush, in the beginning of Hashoel and Bav Metzia, the eighth parak, the Rush talks about a case of an animal that was a person damaged an animal. Shomer damaged an animal. A person, any person damaged an animal. The person was mazik an animal, and the animal is going to get better. It's not permanent. So the Rush brings machlokas. The Chachmei Tzarfas, the sages of France, said, you don't pay anything, because it's, he doesn't ripui or sheves, he says, it's not nezek, it's only sheves, or maybe ripui. There's a Mardechai who explicitly says that you wouldn't pay ripui in such a case, the Achronim bring, that if you damage someone's animal and it needs medical treatment to get better, you don't pay, because it's not nezek. Anything which is not permanent is not nezek. The fact that there are costs, the cost is sheves, the cost is ripui. When property damage has no ripui, has no sheves. So the first opinion in the Rush, the Chachmei Tzarfas, the Mardechai, brings an opinion that a person who damages property, if the damage is not permanent, doesn't pay anything. The Rush then brings in another opinion who disagrees. Tor, Shulchan Aruch bring both shitas, and there is no clear hachra. Now, the consensus is, in general, that this is, as I said, this is a big chiddush, and the consensus is, most achronim say, that in general, just because damage is reversible, you still have to pay for it as nezek. The Nesivus brings an interesting raya. There's a Gemara in Nida. The Gemara talks about a case where a bunch of women borrowed a garment from someone who owned it, and a blood stain was found on the garment. So the Gemara discusses both the Nida question, how do we know which woman is Nida, as well as the Chosh and Mishpat question of who has to pay for it. But the Gemara clearly assumes that someone has to pay for it. One of the people who borrowed it, if we can figure out who the blood came from, would have to pay for it. So the Nesivus says, even though that would be reversible, the blood, he assumes, can be cleansed. The Gemara does assume that there are ways of cleaning out blood out of garments. So assuming that we grant the Metzius that the blood can be cleaned and still there is a Chiyuv Tashlumin, the Nesivus claims he has an offer in a Gemara that just because Nezek is reversible, you still have to pay for it as Nezek. And indeed, I saw one of the contemporary Sfarim talks about such a case. Somebody borrowed a wedding dress or a party dress from a friend, got it dirty, soiled at the party, it can be cleaned. So the Posek was asked, do you have to pay for it? And the answer was yes, because Nesivus is right, la halacha, just because something can be reversed doesn't mean that it's not nezek. As long as there is a cost involved, the cost to clean it, you have to pay at least that. The Ktzos HaChoshen is the most famous proponent of the other opinion, the halacha l'maisa, you do not have to clean it. The Ktzos was not talking about a garment. The Ktzos was talking about a house, that by living in the house, somebody caused damage by soiling, dirtying the walls, what the Gemara calls shacharisa dashaisa. But in any event, the case of a person who dirtied, blackened, soiled the walls of a building, the Ktzos discusses the question of whether that would be called nezek or not. And the Ktzos says, no, it would not, since it is reversible, since it can be power washed, whatever you would do with it, whitewashed, whatever you would do to bring it back to its pristine state. Since it's reversible, the Ktzos says that you are not chayev as nezek, adam hamazik shar, a person who damages property, a shar, a house, a building, whatever it is, there is no chayev except for nezek. Anything reversible is not nezek, and therefore you don't have to pay. The Ktzos's comments are fairly brief. He doesn't discuss the kasha of the Nesivus, numerous other questions he doesn't really discuss, but the Ktzos is not the only one. There are others who take this position too, notably the Divrei Chaim, not the Sanzer of the Divrei Chaim Orbach. And you know, it is a real shita. It might be a minority opinion, but there are serious proponents of this view that things which can be reversed are not considered nezek. Halacha l'maisa, I don't think we go with this. Halacha l'maisa, I think the minhag, the convention is that, like the Nesivus, like the Pashas, that most of us would assume that just because it can be reversed, if there are costs involved in reversing it, then you do have to bear those costs. One of the Gemara we should mention, which is also brought by the Poskim, the Poskim debate the significance of the Gemara, is another Gemara in Bava Kamma, about 10, 15 daf later in the Masechta, in Perek HaGozel. Gemara talks about a case of someone who, let's say, kicked, for example, someone else's property into the water. Kicked a coin belonging to Reuven. Shimon kicked Reuven's coin into the water. So he's not a Ganav, because to be a Ganav, different topic, to be a Ganav you have to have actually picked it up. Just by kicking it down the street, you don't become a Ganav. The question is, are you a mazik? Is that called you damaged his coin? His coin is there, it hasn't rusted away, it's still sitting there, it's still usable, but it's in the bottom of the ocean, bottom of the river. So the Gemara talks about this case. The Gemara calls this grama. The Gemara says, you're not really a mazik mikra din. You're a garim hezik, but you're not really a mazik. And Rashi explains, the Gemara talks about different cases where the water is clear, where the water is not clear, the complicated technical details. But Rashi says that even though it will cost money to bring up the coin, even though you'll have to pay for a diver, a professional, someone who can go down and fetch it up, so Rashi says, you have to pay money to a diver to bring it up, to swim down and catch it for you. That's only grama. That doesn't cause real hezek. Grama is a whole separate topic. This man we're focusing on, adma mazik, real hezek, grama and garmi, in cases where you chai for indirect hezek, there are such cases, but that's a separate topic. But in terms of classic adma mazik, Rashi says, you are not a mazik, even though it costs money to retrieve it. And the Ketzeres HaChoshen basically brings it as a raya to his view. He says, you see that just because it costs money to fix something, as long as it is fixable, you are not chayev. The other Acharonim, the Nesivas, the different Malkiel, and others say there's no raya. In that case, that's not real hezek. The coin is still, that's what Rabbi Sussman, I guess, wanted to say, the coin is still in perfectly good shape. It's just not accessible. It's blocked. It's on the bottom of the river. That's not real hezek in the first place. So the fact that it costs money to retrieve it, that doesn't create a hezek. But something which is actually damaged, like a car that has a big dent in the door, even if it's reversible, since objectively right now it is damaged, then, even if it's reversible, the cost of fixing it still has to be borne by the mazik. As I said, this is a complicated topic, and there are other opinions. The consensus, the general approach, is like the Nesivas, like what people, I think, assume intuitively, that you are chayev, although it's worth knowing that there is an important opinion that says, as long as it's reversible, when it comes to property damage, there is no chiv.